In this journey to become a master of the lamp, like Aladdin, you have to do what we call conquering the labyrinth of fear. It is like we get lost in a labyrinth. We can't find our way out, and fear can literally paralyze us. And we're going to show you seven gateways out of the labyrinth of fear. One, to realize that you create all of your own fears. Two, we're going to teach you how to analyze your fears. And three, to use positive self-talk. And four, to feel the fear and do it anyway. The fifth way out will be to build up to big stuff slowly. And six, to reframe the meaning of rejection. And finally, number seven, to remember it's all a numbers game. These seven gateways will get you out of the labyrinth and into action and on the road toward achieving all your dreams. Now let's look at each one at a time. By now, most of us who listen to these kind of programs have heard that fear equals F-E-A-R, fantasized experiences appearing real. Or as one of my friends says, forget everything and run. Fantasized experiences appearing real. What does that mean? We're creating the fear in our head, but it feels so real because we see it that it literally stops us. Let me give you an example of how powerful the mind is in creating fears. I'm on a plane on the runway in Los Angeles about to fly to Orlando, Florida. And as the plane starts moving down the runway, this lady next to me starts to lift herself out of her chair. Her knuckles are white. She stops breathing, and literally she's lifting herself. I said, "Excuse me, but what are you doing?" She said, "I'm lifting myself out of my chair." I said, "I can see that." I said, "But why?" She says, "Well, I was figuring if I kind of lift up, it'll make the plane lighter, and it'll be sure to get off the ground." And I realized we had failed in our physics education in America, but I said, "Why are you so afraid?" She says, "Well, I don't know. I hate flying." And I said, "Well, do me a favor. I'm a psychologist. Just give me a little latitude here. Let me play with you for a minute." She said, "Okay." So I said, "Close your eyes. Tell me what images are going through your head." She said, "I see the plane blowing up in a big fireball at the end of the runway." I said, "No wonder you're scared." I said, "Let me show you something. There's two kind of images in life. One is what we call a catastrophic image. That's where, like, you blow up the plane. The other is called an anastrophic. That's a positive image. So let me ask you a question. Why are you flying to Orlando?" Well, she said, "What I'm doing is I'm going to go meet my grandchildren down there, and we're going to spend the week at Disney World." I said, "Have you ever been to Disneyland or Disney World before?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "What's your favorite ride?" She said, "Oh, I just love that. It's a small world." I said, "I love that too. Let me do this with you. Close your eyes." I said, "Imagine now you're on a ride with your grandchildren. You're going through It's a Small World. And you see all the little people, they're dancing back and forth and all the little languages. And I even started humming, It's a Small World Anyway. And all of a sudden, she started relaxing. The color began to return to her hands. She started breathing deeper. And I said, "You see what happens? If you will visualize being at the end of where you want to go, seeing the positive, you get a nice relaxed feeling. But if you visualize the plane blowing up, you freak out. Your mind can't tell the difference between a real event and an imagined event. So if you can imagine anything, imagine the positive, not the negative." Very powerful little lesson for me about how powerful this mind is. It literally had her whole physiology tweaked to the point where she couldn't breathe.
Now, the first gateway out of the labyrinth of fears is to realize that you create all your fears. Fears immobilize us. They stop us. They stifle us. They thwart us. Whereas faith mobilizes us to get into vital, success-generating, realizing action in the sweet now and now. I don't know if you read Walt Kelly's Pogo strip, but one day he said, "We have met the enemy, and they is us." To help people in our workshop see this, we often ask them to pair up and complete the following sentence and repeat it over and over. "When it comes to asking for what I want, I'm afraid to," and then we have them fill in the blank. "Ask my boss for a raise."
"I'm afraid to ask Janet out for a date."
"I'm afraid to ask my grandparents to help me with my college education."
"I'm afraid to ask my boss for a day off to go to a seminar."
"I'm afraid to ask my husband for a hug." The next step is to go back and restate each item as follows. "I'd really like to blank," and I scare myself by imagining blank. The key words are, "I scare myself by imagining."
So the key words are, "I scare myself by imagining." Now, if we go back to the other examples, for instance, we change it to, "I'd really like to ask my boss for a raise, and I scare myself by imagining that if I do, not only will he not give me a raise, he's start going to give me a lecture about how I don't do enough, maybe he'll even fire me. I'd really like to ask Janet out for a date, and I scare myself by imagining that if I do, she'll say no." I'd really like to ask my boss for a day off to go to a seminar, and I scare myself by imagining that he'd get angry at me for not being committed to my work. So what you see here is that we're the one that's scaring ourselves. Nothing out there is inherently scary. It's us imagining what's going to happen if we do it. We go into the future, and then we imagine the worst thing possible, and then we stop ourselves from doing what we need to do. One of the exercises I do in all my seminars is I ask people to close their eyes. Imagine they're standing in the middle of a very small terrace on top of the tallest skyscraper in the world. And what happens then is I ask them to imagine walking to the edge of the terrace, putting their feet right up against the edge, and then look down. And I ask them to note at that moment in time what they're feeling in their body as they do that. Then I ask them to walk or crawl back to the middle of the terrace. And when they get back to the middle, I ask them to open their eyes. Then I ask people to raise their hand if they felt something in their body when they walked to the edge of the terrace. People raise their hand, and I ask them, what were you feeling? People will say, my hands got sweaty. My knees were shaking. My back stiffened up. My breathing got shallow. And then I ask them, where were you really? And the answer is they were sitting in the chair. And again, the point we make here is your body cannot tell the difference between a real event and a vividly imagined event. That's how powerful our mind is. But unfortunately, we use it to scare ourselves instead of to empower ourselves. Now, there's three solutions for how to stop creating those fears.
Number one, come back to the present. Be here and now. Just feel your breathing. See what you're seeing. Hear what you're hearing. Get out of your head. Get into your senses. Just notice what is so. Articulate what you see, hear, and feel. For example, I could be scaring myself right now by going into the future and thinking this album won't be any good, and Vic Konat will decide not to publish it, and my future's over, and it's bleak, and it's end.
But the other choice Mark has is he can bring himself back to the present and do what we call an awareness continuum. Instead of being his head in the future worrying about whether Nightingale Konat's going to publish this album or not, you come back into the room and you go, okay, I notice the carpet's red. There's gray carpeting on the walls. I'm breathing in and out. I can feel the rise and fall of my chest and stomach. I see the paper spread across the table. I feel my hand moving as I say that. I feel the cold air on my hand. And as soon as I'm back in the present, then the fear disappears because I'm not in the future imagining the worst. I'm in the present noticing what's so.
So I get rid of the anxiety attack. Now, almost every one of us has anxiety sometime. I got in an elevator once that should hold 10 people and had 17, and it went down about 6 inches, so the door was locked shut, and there was one guy with us that weighed over 400 pounds in that elevator, and I didn't know that I had claustrophobia until that moment, and I was already 40 years old, and sweat just started beaming out of my beingness. I started feeling my heart palpitating, and I was starting to breathe shallowly, but the minute I got it, I did the response that Jack just said. Breathe deep, look around, catch on to the colors, the feeling, the sense, be present, I'm available, and all of a sudden, magically, the elevator started again.